Greetings and welcome back to the CBMW Podcast, your weekly download of cutting-edge complementarian commentary and one-stop shop for egalitarian opposition research. I'm your host, Jonathan Swan, executive editor of ICON, and I'm joined alongside by Colin Smothers, the executive director of CBMW, and CBMW's president, Denny Burke. Welcome to the show, guys. Colin, it's now late October. How many pumpkin spice lattes have you had this fall?
Zero. I haven't drank one. I never will. I do have, however, in my mug as we speak, Trader Joe's Fall Harvest Tea. Highly recommend. I buy it by the bushel full. And if you want your fall experience to be rich and rewarding, go get yourself some.
Well, my fall observance is that I've been eating butterscotch candies, which, you know, those candies that your grandfather used to have in his pocket kind of rolling around, and they were warm when you got them because they'd been
Werther's
in his pocket.
Werther's Originals? Is that your brand of choice?
No, not even the fancy Werther's. I'm talking about the old orange ones in the orange wrapping.
Oh, wow. Boy.
And I've had probably one too many of those. I'm not going to be drinking any pumpkin spice lattes, but
come on now. You guys are candy. Such haters. Such haters. Well, hey, today's topic is on AI and the creation of pornography. In recent news, Elon Musk's AI platform, Grok Imagine, has released a new feature called Spicy Mode. We don't make these things up. Which allows for the production of explicit content through the AI interface. This NSFW, not safe for work content, allows users to create erotic sexual content in a text-to-image AI generator, and it's available to Super Grok Premium Plus subscribers, and according to Business Standard, to quote them, Grok Imagine combines generative AI with tools that convert text into images and transform those images into short video clips with audio. Now, they say that there are some guardrails in place to filter out some nudity. It nonetheless allows what news sources and Grok AI calls erotic and explicit imagery. Business Standard says this about it. It says the tool still enforces moderation boundaries, as per a report by TechCrunch. Many attempts to push the limits result in blurred or blocked visuals due to content restrictions. However, it was still possible to generate some semi-nude visuals during testing. So basically, Grok allows the production of pornography in the palm of your hand. But Grok is not alone. Apparently, ChatGPT has announced that in December, it plans to roll back its restrictions for this kind of content creation for age-verified users. There's a lot there, guys, but how should we as Christians respond to this kind of news?
I was really concerned about this, that Grok is going to be allowing this, but I'm also concerned about the OpenAI announcement from last week. You know, Sam Altman saying that they're shifting, they're turning on a dime on this. Well, they've actually been saying for about a year or so that they're thinking about this, but they're changing their policy, and now they're going to allow for erotica beginning in December. And I don't know. You guys can try to help me sort this out. I'm not sure what the difference is between erotica and pornography. I tried to look up a difference in the definitions, and it seems to be that there, whatever distinctions there are, they're not different in terms of what they're trying to achieve, which is to evoke lustful thoughts in the users. But they're both aimed at that. And so now OpenAI is going to be allowing this. And so it's really disturbing, because think about this. It's going to make people even more glued to destructive content on their phone. It's going to be whatever can come into their brain and they can put into text, instructing these AI models to make for them images of what they're describing. It's going to be super addictive. It's going to be something that people are going to waste a lot of time on, for one thing, but it's also going to be dragging them down into vice. And this is one of the reasons I think that, you know, I just wonder what they're doing, because OpenAI has a charter. It just in OpenAI's charter statement says that we will attempt to directly build safe and beneficial AGI. Well, I just want to know what's safe and beneficial about creating erotica. So can somebody please explain how it benefits society to create your own personalized erotica? Like, what is that? I don't see how it's beneficial. I know if I ask, if you ask, now that's one platform. If you go to the Grok platform and you ask Elon Musk what's beneficial about it, he'll cite liberty, right? Complete free speech is an ultimate value all by itself. And he's going to not be favoring many kind of limits at all, because he's treating, libertarian freedom as a kind of, ultimate value, which if you're a Christian, you have to be looking at that and you're saying that's actually not the case. We need some behaviors constrained because it's not good for us. It's not safe and beneficial to get hooked on this kind of thing. So, yeah, I think it's really troubling.
Yeah, I think, Denny, one of the connections between erotica and pornography, I think it is the same thing. Erotica is a little bit more marketable, maybe a more respectable term.
More artistic?
Right, maybe more artistic. But I certainly don't agree with it, obviously. But I think what we're seeing here is one more step in what we've seen sort of our progressive world just careening toward, and that is removing any sort of design from this sexual activity that God has for male and female in the covenant of marriage. So this is one more iteration. Already with pornography, you had that disassociation between procreative sex and the sexual activity. And now we're talking about not even real actors. We're talking about synthetic generated AI images. And so the bottom line here, and by the way, that shouldn't be surprising. I mean, Elon Musk's own biography, he has how many kids with how many different women, and some of them actually not associated at all with the procreative act, but actually through procreation or reproductive technologies that maybe even women that he hasn't even met before. I mean, this is very, very bizarre stuff. And I think the bottom line here is that our tech overlords in the Silicon Valley do not have our best interests in mind. They have completely abandoned, I think, the pursuit of the good welfare of society, and they certainly do not deserve our deference. I've been so surprised by how many evangelicals especially are so quick to adopt the latest technology, even around AI, sometimes seeing, articles about pastors using AI to help in their sermon prep, or maybe even help generate questions in their Sunday school classes or, discussion questions after the sermon. Here's what we need to realize. These algorithms are being programmed now, we know in the headlines, to generate AI pornography. This is the ethic that is underlying this same AI brain that is generating the kinds of things that you're going to ask a question or a summary statement for. In other words, the ethics of the thing we cannot separate from the very technology and the code underlying these things. So I think major caution, obviously, but I mean, we were talking about this a few weeks ago. These devices, this access is harmful to adults, certainly, but especially to kids. I don't know how they're going to police this thing. I don't know how they're going to have filters on here that keep kids away from this. I can tell you it's not going to work. They're going to be circumnavigated. And with the introduction of this, I think it's a major, major caution for evangelicals using this technology.
Colin, are you saying that you don't see any kind of righteous use for AI?
No, I'm saying, again, a major caution. I think what I see people doing, the way I see people using AI in beneficial ways are things like, hey, summarize this document or summarize this news story or synthesize, XYZ for me in, a particular document. But what we know from testimonies of people using these things, there are people generating personalities, asking questions regarding the meaning of life, what they should do next, what career paths they should pursue. In other words, it's becoming this like synthetic counselor. And all I'm saying is look what they are injecting into the source code now with this new iteration of erotica on offer. And you need to be very, very careful.
Well, it's interesting because it's. I think a lot of times we're like ready, shoot, aim. What I hear you saying, and I agree, is that we really need to be taking account of what the technology is and how it can be used for nefarious ends. And it just feels like everybody's, you know, early adopting and not, you know, taking all of that into account. But it's interesting when any kind of new technology comes online, it almost seems like everything gets leveraged somehow towards pornography. Have you noticed that? Like almost everything can be pornographied. It's so ubiquitous. And so I just think everybody has to have their antenna up about that.
Yeah, well, the one of the reasons for using it, right, is that it's, we have free speech. And so we can't moderate this content because then you would be you'd be limiting my self-expression. And in a world where we've located our identity and the expression of ourself in sexuality, it really is no surprise that we see that, Denny.
Well, I mean, I think that there should be – I think if everybody's being honest, they understand that there are built-in limits to free speech.
Yeah.
Right? There are certain things you can't run out and do, like yell fire in mm-hmm. a crowded movie theater, right? I mean, so there are certain limits that we would say that for public order, public safety, we limit certain kinds of things. I'm in the school of I would be all for there being legal limits on pornography. I think we need to have we've had it before in the United States. We had decency, you know, laws, right. or what do they call them? Indecency laws. And you couldn't, you know, you had bans on pornography and it was illegal because it was understood to be running contrary to the common good. And yep. I think it manifestly is. And so I just wish that we had restrictions on this. I wish these companies would restrict themselves, but apparently they're not going to do it.
No,
it's going to be a race to the bottom. They're not going to regulate themselves. I'm totally happy with the government stepping in here and saying, and I think Josh Hawley and maybe some others are actually thinking about doing that, trying to have some kind of standards on this, because I don't know if you saw this, but you know, he's no conservative, but Mark Cuban came out and was really concerned about this announcement from ChatGPT because he said, there's no way you're going to be able to keep this from kids. You know, I mean, practically, you're going to set up some kind of, you know, age verification, but that stuff's a joke. They just get their older siblings' login credentials. And then sometimes it's not even much of a gatekeep. You can just set up a false one. So I don't know how they could possibly, you know, keep this genie in the bottle once they let it out. I think it's just going to go everywhere. And I think kids are going to have access to it.
Yeah, there's no way with a straight face those companies can claim to know that they will keep young people off these platforms. There's absolutely no way. You know, this technology represents the Silicon Valley's contribution to the transhumanist project. I spent part of the weekend reading Yuval Noah Harari, so none of you have to. And he sort of equates human life, just life in general, to data processing, information processing, which makes us really no different from computers. And because they have no stable view of human nature, embracing, you know, Darwinianism, we're just one snapshot in time progressing on to something else. We are somehow in the future supposed to merge with computers. And as we replace real life experiences with these generated AI pornographic sexual images, it sort of just takes us one step closer down that transhumanist, really a dystopian hellscape road for our culture, which we should grieve, regret, and warn our fellow brothers and sisters about.
Well, and that's just it. I think that this is sort of revealing, again, something that we already knew, but there is no neutral space. There is no genuinely secular space. There is no space that that even, you know, under the libertarian, you know, utopia, that everybody can just do whatever they want to and, you know, everybody will be happy with the consequences or something. No, what happens even with this technology is information is fed into an algorithm, but this algorithm has to make choices. This algorithm has to be programmed even with a morality. What is good? What is bad? What needs to be suppressed? What needs to be amplified? And I do know, at least originally, early on with especially the AI abilities to search news stories, these kinds of things, it was kind of doing an end run around Google's, for instance, suppression of conservative viewpoints. And I know a lot of people appreciated that. And the reason was because, you know, it was not using those filters, those kind of progressive filters that had a conservative bias. But what we're seeing real time here is you cannot escape the bias. You are going to, at base, have to have a morality, a theology of the human person, what human people are for, what is good for human people, what is bad for people, etc. And all of that is going to be built into this source code. So it's really a question of who's doing the coding and who's making these decisions. And I think what we're seeing is there's some bad actors involved in this technology, and Christians need to be able to do their own thinking according to the Word of God and not outsource that to somebody else.
Absolutely. Well, guys, I don't particularly find this the most uplifting or exciting topic, but it is, of course, one of importance, and I always enjoy the time with you guys. Thank you for being on the podcast today. For our listeners, find out more about what we do at CBMW at cbmw.org.